Guys, what's up? It's Kate. Today's Date Fails is brought to you by BetterHelp. Guys, is there something that's interfering with your happiness or preventing you from achieving your goals? I have been there. We have all been there. I'm telling you, what you need is a professional to help you out. You need some counseling, and BetterHelp online counseling is there for you. You can connect with a professional counselor in a safe and private online environment. It's so convenient, guys. We have licensed professional counselors available to us who specialize in depression, stress, anxiety, relationships, sleeping, trauma, LGBT matters, grief, self-esteem. Whatever you need help with, you can connect with a professional counselor today. Get help on your own time at your own pace. Schedule secure video or phone sessions. Plus, you can chat and text with your therapist in between calls. Guys, this is available worldwide. I don't know why we're not taking advantage of it already. You should start right now. Communicate in the next 24 hours with a BetterHelp counselor. It's available on desktop, mobile web, Android, iOS. You can schedule your sessions around your own flexible time allowance. So guys, make it happen. It's affordable. Get it together. Let's all do better this year. Go right now and get 10% off your first month. That's right. Date Fails with Kate Quigley listeners get 10% off your first month with discount code DATEFAILS. So why not get started today? Go to betterhelp.com/datefails. Simply fill out a questionnaire to help them assess your needs and get matched with a counselor you'll love. That's betterhelp.com/datefails. Enter my code DATEFAILS. Guys, let's go.
Yeah, guys, what's up? It's Kate. This is Date Fails. Oh my God, I'm so excited. I'm back in Brian Monarch's studio.
Boom. Woo!
Look at this place, man. You've really, you could be like a HGTV, like design on a dime guy, except you spent like $10,000 on this.
So I don't know.
It's more like 10,000 dimes, but.
Space Invaders.
I know. Look at all the cool stuff he has.
Yeah, where we got E.T. and Michael.
That is incredible. Where did you get that?
I actually saw the picture online and I just had it printed through Snapfish.
No way.
You know what's so funny? I watched Jalen Rose's show yesterday, you know, on ESPN.
I haven't seen it.
So Jalen Rose and another, Jalen and Jacoby, I think it's called.
Uh-huh.
But they have the dopest set, right? And yeah. I was saying, this just reminded me of it. It's just confirmation. It's like coming over here has been all these signs. But they have like pictures of Michael Jackson and he has like all his favorite stuff back there. And this just reminded me.
It's like this. See, she's thinking of moving to the Valley. We're in the Valley, guys.
And it's hot as F right now.
Yeah, for the people who don't live in LA, the Valley is like usually 15 degrees hotter than the other side of the hill. We call the Basin. So when I drove over here today, I mean, I'm sweating. Like, I'm legit. I probably smell. I'm sorry.
I don't smell you. Where do you live?
I just live like Hollywood and Western.
And it's cooler over there.
I mean, yeah, it's still hot as shit. It's like 90 in here. It's like 105.
Yeah,
so it's still hot.
Probably like 85 in Santa Monica, 80.
Yeah.
It's oh, I miss the beach. Did you ever live over by the beach?
Not here, but I grew up on the beach. You know, I grew up in Miami, so I used to go to the beach every weekend.
I don't think I remembered that.
Yeah, I grew up.
I didn't even introduce our guest. I should introduce you. Oh, well, first of all, I'm so excited to have you. I mean, you're hilarious. You're beautiful. What's funny about you is... I worked on a Playboy TV show with a woman named Linda. That was her last name. I can't remember her last name now. She was like the assistant director or something. I don't. This is horrible. I'm giving Linda the worst intro. But she. Linda Nova. Do you know who that is? Little black, like black woman. She's a mom.
Like anyway. A champagne, Linda Nova.
Thank you, Brian.
You're welcome.
That was great.
Thank you.
Yeah, that was well done. The reason I brought her up is because she used to always say how much she loved you.
Oh, wow.
She was, I don't know what she worked on that you were on, but she was like, I just love Ida because she's beautiful and she's like sexy and she's like a strong woman. You went on stage in a dress for...
Oh, Last Comic Standing.
Yeah. And she was like, I just love that she owned it and wore a dress. And like, she was such a big fan of yours. And that's how I first looked you up.
Oh.
Because I didn't know you. And I was like, really? I got to check this girl out. And then when I met you, you were very cool.
What year was it
that
you
were that on? That was in 2014.
Oh, okay.
I wore that dress and I've been paying for it ever since. You hear me?
For
patriarchy's
real?
Patriarchy's been coming for me.
I have a buddy that wears a suit to every comedy show. You know Guy Groves at all?
Oh, yeah, I know who Guy is. Yeah. There are quite a few guys that do that. Nobody ever says anything.
Yeah.
Isn't that funny? Well, yeah. I actually do. I make fun of them a little when I see them. Yeah, because if I see you at a bar show in a suit and tie, I'm like, what do you do? Why? Like, that's so weird to me. But I don't know. I get shit on it. I mean, the first time I met you, actually, I think you were with Jason Taylor? What's the guy, the gay comic?
Jason Stewart.
I'm an asshole today. Jason Stewart. And he was giving me shit about going on stage in shorts or something.
Really?
Yeah.
He didn't do that in front of me, though.
No, he did, because I remember you stuck up for me.
Oh, yeah, because that's not... You don't tell anybody...
Yeah, you stuck up for me.
I'm like, don't bring your gay on stage, motherfucker. What's wrong?
Yeah.
Gay guys are funny. I used to run a show at a pizza place, a little shitty show, and this guy hit me up on Facebook. He's like, what time's curtain call? And I was like, curtain call? It's a fucking pizza open mic, dude. Just get there at 8 when it starts.
That is amazing, but also super weird. Have you done shows where they make you do a curtain call at the end?
I'm the asshole that always leaves before that time because I just don't want to go out and bow after
it's
a show.
It's so awkward.
I just want to dive off the stage onto my head.
It's the worst. When I was in Beirut, they not only had us come up and do a curtain call, but then we had to stay on stage and the audience would come up and take photos with people. Mm-hmm. But it felt like gym class where you see who gets picked last, like whoever got like the least number of photos or like the least, like you were funny. Like one night, like hardly anyone talked to me and I was like, I'm just going to go kill myself in the green room.
Well, you were at Beirut. They probably were scared that their instincts might kick in and they might kidnap you.
I feel like we're going to overpower. Can you put a little close? There you go. They're perfect. That sounds much better.
They probably thought.
Yes. But I'm excited to have Ida here because you have a Netflix special coming out that we can promote that you said now you can officially say the release date.
Netflix released it yesterday.
So. And it's August 13th?
Yep.
Awesome.
I'm so excited. And you are one of the women.
Six women
that Tiffany Haddish, she EP'd it or produced it?
She EP'd it, her and Wanda Sykes and Paige Hurwitz. She handpicked six of her favorite comedians and who've been doing stand-up for a certain amount of time. She said 10 years or more. And she was like, it's time for them to get something. And
that's awesome.
Yeah. It's so, so rad.
What comes out on August 13th?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
How cool is that?
That's really cool.
What's really cool is that a lot of people don't know that. She took a pay cut to give us those specials.
Really?
Yeah. And
she's the best.
She's great.
People don't, you know, and other people count. Well, she's rich. She. You don't have to. How many of them are and don't do stuff like
that?
Yeah,
totally. You know? Sometimes I work with a lot of comics. Usually, sometimes when the richer they get, the worse they are about that stuff.
Yeah. But also, like, Tiffany still wears, like, Ross and Target. Last time I saw her, she had on Target.
Well, we went to Greece last year, and she had on a dress that she bought from Facebook.
That's it.
She's taking furs from people in the crowd, too.
Oh, yeah. We got into so much shit over that because she took, like, a fake raccoon vest from some audience.
Oh, your raccoon post was so funny. I was on there trolling.
I remember. That shit was insane. I could not believe. I was like, I don't ever want to be this famous. Like, it's crazy that when you're at that level of fame, you're so under a microscope that we were just, like, kind of drunk backstage, like, joking around. Right. The next day, just, like, PETA was like, I'm going to kill your family.
Like it was real. Like, anyone has a raccoon fur in LA anyway. It's like all fake crap.
Yeah, I think that was like an H&M. Whatever. Yeah. Doesn't matter. Point is, I'm super pumped for your Netflix special. Thank you. You have a podcast called Truth Serum.
Yes.
And you said you're going to start another. Can we talk about the new? You're going to start another podcast? What's the plan?
It's called Starting from Scratch. And basically, I'm just going to go around interviewing people and talking about things that they started from the ground up.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want it to be like inspirational. I know that sounds shitty. I just want to, because, you know, like, I think we get so, everybody's so self-righteous now. Like, everybody's so, especially, like, the people who find themselves being politically correct. And I want to find a drug dealer who's going to tell me how he started making crack from the beginning. You know, like, I want to know everything. I want to, and listen, I'm not just going to do that, but I want to do a spectrum of things because I just think everybody's so full of shit now, and I want to be able to stay on the ground.
That's something I really
see how it all bloomed from the beginning.
Yeah,
that's cool.
I mean, I actually think that's like my favorite thing with anyone is when someone is so real and open and vulnerable, almost to a fault.
Yeah,
and I feel like you're that way. In fact, you're just so. My friend Aiden and I were talking about it because you're friends with Aiden, and he was saying, he's like, I just love how she's just like, no bullshit. Like, you're very, like, direct.
Yeah.
Sometimes it feels like I'm Large Marge from Pee Wee Herman. Like, people are like, she'll tell you. I just think that authenticity is irreplaceable. And for me, like, I think, I don't know, to navigate in the spaces as a comedian, we have to be honest and we have to be real. You know,
what's the point of being fake anyway? Yeah. What do you get out of that other than people not knowing the real you?
I just noticed that anytime on stage I tell a lie, anytime I, even if I'm embellishing a story and I add to it something that's completely untrue, it always just doesn't resonate
same,
as well.
Same, yeah. Same. And you know, we all have that because comedy can be so painful sometimes, which people don't really understand. Comedians are always being led to believe that there's only one spot at the top. We're all competing against each other. And sometimes you just feel like you got to go out there and give people what they want. And you just don't realize that what they want is just you.
I find myself in that situation. I'm competitive and I feel like, oh, if this guy is a better show producer or comedian, I'm like, I start getting like, you know, but you don't need to do that because everyone, there's enough pieces of pie, like you were saying, basically.
But it's by design, though. That's how they keep us down, right?
Yeah.
Because no, imagine if there were 10 comedians that generated $10 million a week, they would all have jobs. Yeah, because it's all about money.
It's true, but also I think it's interesting. Like, I noticed for me since the beginning, when I first started comedy, before I was funny, people would come up to me at like the supermarket and go, I saw you at the Long Beach Laugh Factory and I remember your story because I also was divorced XYZ. And it was never about jokes. It's like when someone latches onto something real that they relate to, that's a lot of the time what they remember, not like that one joke about an airplane bathroom or whatever. Right. So
they find you'll find you're funny when you are a comedian and you got those dark stories. Like, I'm working on a bit right now about my grandmother's funeral. And my grandmother was my world. So I never thought I would ever be able to do a joke about my grandmother's funeral. But I keep her alive in those ways. And I just think that people remember stuff like
that.
Is
that in your special?
It's not in this special. What's in this special is my grandmother kidnapped me. Like, it was a real kidnapping.
That was one of the kidnappings?
Yeah.
Wait, the reason...
Hold
on. The reason I wanted to have Ida on in the first place is because we did this shittiest gig of all time together in Youngstown. It was like a comedy fest that wasn't... I'm pretty sure they were like dealing crack.
And the promoter faked a heart attack to not pay us.
Oh, for real. And he left to go get cash. And came back with like, I mean, it was like a Sunday night. You can only take so much out of an ATM. I don't know where he went, but he came back with like $3,000 and like 20s. Like, it was crazy.
Glad he got through that heart attack.
Yeah, it was nuts.
No, you know what? Somebody was like, he did it again?
Yeah. Oh my God. It was wild. But she told me, Ida told me there that she was kidnapped twice.
Two times.
And I was like, I have to hear this. And I still haven't heard. So now you have to tell these stories, please.
So the first time I was kidnapped, I was a baby, right? I was little. My mother kidnapped me from my father. So my mother and my father and I lived in the Dominican Republic. My mother did the whole not without my daughter thing. Like, she snuck me out of the country, changed my name. My father found me on Facebook when I was an adult. Like, he hadn't seen me.
Wow.
He was crying, not in his throat, looking for me my whole life. All because he cheated on her and she was so vindictive.
Yeah.
And
I can relate.
Me too.
I can get on that level of petty. I will take your kid for life, bitch.
Me too. And you know, she doesn't regret it. She was like, why would you want to grow up with someone like that? He lacks integrity. He's shitty or whatever. But what people laugh at stuff like that and they don't realize that I didn't get to see my father.
Yeah, you didn't have a dad.
My whole life, because my mom made this decision and they're looking for me. They were like looking for me. You know, they found me on Facebook, but I don't even know those people now. Like, I have siblings. I have a brother that lives here that I'm close to, but I have four sisters that I don't really even know.
Wow. She changed your name?
Yeah, my last name is Paradas. My last name is not Rodriguez, but she just went for the whole thing.
She had four other kids before you?
No, those are my father's children.
Got it.
That I,
like, half siblings.
Yeah.
Like, the youngest one's my favorite. I'm only taking her.
So wait, how did he find you if you had a different name?
My sister, because my first name is the same, and my sister was like, that's my sister. I know, they have pictures of me when I was a baby. And so she started sending me these messages, and it was so weird because I was like, it was just overwhelming, you know?
Yeah.
And then finally, once I responded, they were my family. They were.
Wow.
And then he sent me, I didn't have any pictures of myself when I was a baby. he had them all. So he sent me pictures of me as a baby.
That's crazy.
And it was, you know, it was during the, if you think my mom is bad now, my grandmother, my father's mother was dying. She had diabetes and she had her arms and legs amputated and she wanted to see me before she died. She was really mean though. And my mom was like, my dad said, can you come visit your grandma? And I said, hey, I got to ask my mom. I can't, you know, my mom is the one that's been there and I feel uncomfortable. I have to have her blessing. So I get on the phone with the two of them. And my dad is like, I want her to come see my mom before she passes. Mm-hmm. And my mom was like, absolutely not. And he was like, Margarita, please come on. My mom's arms and legs have been cut off.
What year is this?
This was...
Or how long ago?
This was about 10 years ago.
Wow. Okay. And so this isn't the grandma that kidnaps you later.
No, that's my... That would
be impressive.
Yeah.
That grandma.
She just like bites her, holds on forever.
Oh, yeah. That'd be amazing. But he goes, my mother's arms and legs got cut off, for God's sakes. And my mom responds, they should have cut her head off.
Holy that shit. Was
so that's how she felt about...
Wow.
So needless to say, I didn't get to see her before she passed away.
I'm sorry about that.
I don't think I wanted to. My brother, who I'm close to, said that my grandma was pretty evil.
And yeah.
She put like voodoo on me. She wanted me to die so that my mom and dad wouldn't have any ties anymore. So it was like...
Holy shit.
It was pretty bad.
Well, at least we know voodoo doesn't work.
I know. I almost died though. I got real sick.
Oh,
really?
Man.
Yeah. And my other grandmother who kidnapped me, that grandma cured me with some herbs or whatever.
So how old were you during the second kidnapping?
Yeah, I was little. I was like 6.
And your mom had you here.
Yeah, we were. So my mom gets mad at me when I tell the story. My mom was dating a man who was wanted by the FBI for murder. Right?
And my type.
We were on the run.
Literally.
Sounds like someone Kate would talk about.
I've actually dated guys who are wanted by the FBI.
Oh, cool.
But go on.
Same. We went on. So we were on the run with him. And my grandmother had to kidnap me because if she would have, she wouldn't have, my mom would have gone to jail for being an accomplice to a murderer. So they did a stakeout, her and my uncle. They did a stakeout. My mom left. She left me with the babysitter. My grandmother came. She shook the babysitter up. She was like, you're my granddaughter. She cut all my hair off, changed my clothes. And it's put like
Harrison Ford in The Fugitive.
Put me. I'm gonna show you a picture before.
Please.
I look like Lou Diamond Phillips.
No way. Out, yeah,
and they put me on a plane and flew me to Florida.
Call your next special La Bamba.
My mom. So I didn't see my mom for like a year, and then when the guy went to jail, then my mom came.
Holy cow. Yeah. Well, this explains why you're a comedian.
That was traumatic. And yeah. You know what? People are like, your grandmother kidnapped you. I'm like, my grandmother took me away from my mother.
You should call it my grandmother saved me. Like, that's more.
That's what people say. But it was traumatic. Listen, no matter how shitty your parents
are. Of course.
You want to be with them.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's hard.
It was awful not being. And plus, I was worried about my mom. You know, like.
Yeah. It must be a lot harder to kidnap people now with like cell phones and. Because now you could probably find a cell phone and call your mom. Well, how old were you?
Find someone with a cell phone.
Little. Yeah, I was little. I was
you were too little. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's so weird how people could come back into your life that you didn't know about and stuff. Just last, like, 3 weeks ago, my cousin David hits me up on text. He's like, hey, some lady is hitting us all up on Facebook claiming that her dad is my dad's kid from years ago. And his dad's passed away since. But she found him on Ancestry.com. And it said, like, my dad was, like, a 98% chance of being her uncle or something. So next thing I know, they find out that my dad's brother had another kid before the kids we know. And they did the test. And it is, he is related.
You're related?
Yeah. It's crazy.
I had that happen at a comedy show in Phoenix. There was a girl in the front row. And I said I grew up in a small town called Malvern, Ohio. Has anyone heard of it? And no one, anytime I've ever asked that anywhere, no one's heard of it.
Malvern.
Yeah, and this one girl was like, I have. I'm from there. And I was like, no way. We're probably related. And then after the show, she came up to me and it turned out, like, she looked me up on Facebook. We had so many mutual friends that were family members and we started talking and we were actually related. She's like my second cousin.
That's crazy.
Like, I never met her. It's trippy.
Where was the show?
Phoenix.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was really bizarre. It's
crazy.
Shit happens. Anyway, all right, here's what I want to get into. So when you guys showed up today, I said I had the wildest night last night.
Yeah.
And it was one of those nights where I was planning to go out for one drink. I was like, I have a busy day tomorrow. I can't stay out. And one thing led to another. And I had one of those nights that was like, I can't believe I lived through the night last night. Like, I went to the Comedy Store to have a drink at 10. I left the Comedy Store at 1.
Did you have a spot?
No, I just went to meet up with Joey. And then I left at 1 with a girl I had just met at the Comedy Store. We just hit it off.
Yeah, that happens.
Yeah, we went to Saddle Ranch. She's like, I've never sang karaoke in my life. I was like, bitch, you're singing. We're going to Saddle Ranch. I took her there. She sang a song. Then afterwards, somebody invited us to an after hours party at the W Hotel. So now we're like drunk. It's 2:15. I'm like, let's just go. Fuck it. Why not? We go to the W. We can't find the guys. We're like going up and down all the floors trying to find an after hours party. Couldn't find it.
It was probably in their room.
Well, I'm sure. That's what we were listening for noises. Like, we were wandering around. So we couldn't find it. So now it's like 2:30, 2:40. So we're like, well, I guess we'll go back to my place. And we start walking out to get an Uber. And this random couple of dudes, this big black dude and this little tiny Latino guy, were like, hey, we're going to an after hours party. And we were like, where? They're like, walk a block and turn left. You'll see it. So then they just took off. So then we walked a block, saw no party, and we spent like 40 minutes wandering Hollywood and Vine trying to find an after party.
You guys were getting set up for human trafficking.
Right? So now it's like 3:15 a.m.
Yeah, now it's like 3:15, and now we can't. We're like, we should leave, but we can't. We have to find the party. Like, now it's become a mission, right? We went in so many buildings and weird, like, houses. We went into a strip club. We went into a closed nightclub. Like, we went everywhere. Finally, we're passing this parking lot.
Yeah.
And it looks shady as fuck, but there's a gate open. And I hear music. And I'm like, maybe it's in here. We go in. It's an old print warehouse that's no longer in use. And there's like a total after hours like rave. And apparently they do it 5 nights a week.
Wow.
Yeah. And we went in there and it was the weirdest. I mean,
how full was it? How many people were there?
Maybe 100 and.
Oh, wow.
110, 120. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was, what was weird about it was the most eclectic. It was like 65% like really urban looking like black dudes and then like all white hipsters. It was such a weird mix of people. And then one guy rapped a song for me, like made up a rap song that was kind of a love song.
Yeah.
So I feel like I got like a rap serenade and he was hot.
Okay.
So I got that guy's number. And then I met like an NBA basketball player that I never heard of. And I got his number. So I got two numbers. I drank so much Hennessy, I almost slept at the trap house. I'm calling it a trap house now.
Did you look up the NBA guy online and make sure he's really an NBA guy, not just some tall dude?
No, I'm just going to like live in the moment. I'm going to live in the moment. But the point is, I broke up with someone last week and I just needed like a night of like mayhem.
Yeah, you did it.
And I had it, yeah, but I slept like 2 hours and I'm really hungover, so.
Oh, really?
But everything is, yeah, but that's like literally.
You seem like you're pretty, you know.
With it?
With it, yeah,
it's
yeah.
It's the Celsius, I think. But my point with this whole story is if you need a good after-hour spot, apparently. Mm-hmm.
Just walk down an alley near the W Hotel.
Yeah, I mean, it was bizarre. Like, I don't know if it's legal. They were selling liquor.
No, it's not
legal. It's not? But it's pretty, like, how do you get away with that, you think? It was on Vine.
Just keep doing it until you get caught and do it somewhere else after that.
I feel like your story of your wild night that wasn't supposed to happen.
That sounds like fun. I went to an after hours in downtown and we were looking for it. And then when we found it, it was like a whole world. It was like Moulin Rouge with a bunch of.
Yeah.
It was like super ghetto on one side. And then the other side was like these weird, you know, it was just so many worlds. But I guess if you're trying to find alcohol after the time where they sell it, that's where all those people would eventually meet because they have alcohol in common, right?
Yeah, that makes sense. And yeah. And this place had no AC. It was so hot.
Yeah.
And it was decorated like every room almost had like a different theme in this place. I mean, it was really cool. It kind of reminds me of your walls, Brian. It was like, it was cool, but I don't know, man. I felt like I was in Alice in Wonderland. Like, it didn't feel real. Like, it was the most bizarre. And also because it's in the middle of Hollywood. I was like, how is this not getting shut down? Like, they had to be paying off the cops or something.
It's weird.
Yeah, it was bizarre.
Maybe they just never found it yet.
Maybe. I don't know.
They found it today.
Yeah, yeah. After this podcast. Kidding, guys. It was on Cahuenga and Selma. So, I mean, like, have you had a night like that where you were supposed to go home?
I've had several. But I'll tell you what I think one that would probably be the most entertaining. My friend Mona and I used to party a lot before I started doing stand-up. And I remember going out one night, and one minute she and I are having this conversation, and the next minute I am riding behind a Ferrari that Suge Knight is driving and end up at a party with him and with all my friends. He bought out the
bar.
Holy
shit.
We're all at the, it was in Hollywood. It was called the White Lotus. We're partying on the dance floor. He's buys out the bar. And then one actress, and I don't remember her name, she was dating Suge Knight and was, for some reason, felt threatened by me. And so she came and confronted me on the dance floor.
Do you have that yellow dress on that you wore on last Comic Stand?
I had a less dress. And so he gets her out of my face and she falls on the floor. She tries to make it seem like he pushed her.
Yeah.
And she's like, "You pushed me." And I saw the whole thing. He did not push her. And so I said, "I'm leaving," right? So I used to drive an Expedition. So I get in my truck and I'm pulling out of the White Lotus and I hit the water, the hydrant, and then the water just starts splashing.
Oh my God.
So I got Suge Knight running after me in the parking lot. Like, it was a night where we just started out to go eat sushi.
It's always how it is.
And then I end up on, and thank God TMZ wasn't popular then, because I would have been the bitch that broke the water, the hydrant, the fire hydrant. And
that's something you guys had in common. You guys both hit things in SUVs.
Oh my God.
That's right.
Oh, that just made me laugh. I hit my head.
Sorry, I gotta move the chair forward. Show.
Yeah, that's a weird thing about LA, though. It's like, you can end up at the most surreal. One night, same thing, I had a flight at 6 a.m., so I had to be at the airport at like 4:30 or 5, whatever. And those are the only nights when you get invited to something like epic. So I forget where I was, but somebody was like, "We're going to a party at Mark Cherry's house." And I was like, "I have to go. It's Mark Cherry's, like, I have to see Mark Cherry's house." And I did, and I stayed up the whole night, and I was so like fucked up at the airport. But his house is like the set of Jumanji. Like, it's like jungles and like waterfalls and just a car music. Like, it was amazing. So
that's cool.
You can't turn that stuff down. No, I feel like you have to.
Listen, I used to work out at Gold's Gym in North Hollywood, and for me to go to the gym, I hate the gym. I'll
me
do
too.
Pilates. I'd rather go walk, hike, spin, anything. I just don't. But I go to the gym and I'm working out with this guy who used to train me, and I get tapped on the shoulder and it's 50 Cent.
No way.
Yeah, Gold's Gym with him and his bodyguard. And so he was like, "Can I talk to you for a minute?" So we just have this conversation. We end up on the curb outside of Gold's Gym, sitting down on a curb in the parking lot, just having this conversation. 50 Cent, right?
Isn't that wild?
And he doesn't go like to the same gyms over and over again, I guess for security reasons. But he was like, what's going on? So we talked and we had it.
Is he hitting on you?
I don't know. That day I didn't know. The next day
he comes back. What else would he be doing?
The next day he comes back.
I guess. Okay, sorry.
This is what happens. Because it's weird when people like that hit on you, because they're so used to people hitting on them.
Yeah.
They're waiting on it. And I'm not.
I'm the same. Yeah.
That's not my kind. Right. So I'm working out with Chuck, my trainer, who had a crush on me, and he was jealous. But 50 Cent came back to talk to me, and Chuck said, "Yeah, bro, you're going to have to talk to her on your time because I'm training her right now."
Shut up.
And he waited.
Oh, shut up. So he waited till the end.
And he waited. He went and worked out. And then at the end, we talked and we sat on that curb again. And then I never saw him again. I never called him.
Really? Mm-mm. Interesting.
Probably trouble.
I met some guy. I got in a
rappers.
Car.
You know how it is with rappers. And
not really.
Other famous people.
I did well with one.
What happened with you and Waka Flocka? Because I just told my friend that I was doing your podcast, and they were like, "That's the no." It was my son. He's like, "Mom, oh, that's God. The Waka Flocka girl."
That thing was so. So what happened was when
you
I
never told me you were the Waka Flocka girl.
You didn't know that?
I didn't know.
I don't even know what a Waka Flocka girl is, or who Waka Flocka is.
Waka Flocka. You know what's funny? I didn't know who Waka Flocka was either. When I hosted the AVN Awards, he was the performer, the musical guest.
Right.
And so he came backstage after my set and just said, like, "Oh, you're really funny. Let's get a picture." And I said, "We should do a funny video. Go stand in the middle of that hallway in front of all those people, and I'll come and do, like, real bad, like, white girl twerk moves on you. And you just look totally like, what the fuck is she doing?" And walk away. And we did it, like, as just a 30-second throwaway Instagram video. And the next day...
Oh, I thought you dated him.
No, dude, this video went... I mean, it's still on every, like, worst cringe moments on the internet because people thought it was real.
Oh, okay.
And it was, like, what was wild about it was it started, like, race stuff. Like, people were like, wow. This is why... I remember at first some of the comments on his Facebook, people were like, "This is why guys like Bill Cosby get accused of raping women." Like, it was so
pretty
nuts.
Much the same thing.
Right. Yeah. But he had to actually go on TMZ to say it was a joke because it became such a big, like, people were angry. They were like, "She's trying to break up his marriage." And, like, his wife was right there. Like, it was.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He is the best wife.
Really? I don't really. I met her just for a second.
He's the best wife. I watched, I don't watch reality shows, but I ended up watching something. I don't know where I was. You know, you get stuck in somebody's house and they watch stuff and you're like, because I'm always looking for the people who watch the housewives, right? Like, because nobody ever publicly admits that. So I'm sitting there watching and I'm like, it's like this couple.
Wait, do you watch it?
Therapy? No, I can't watch that stuff. I don't have the brain cells for that.
I've never seen it.
The couple's therapy was like a couple's therapy, but it's like all people of color. But Waka Flocka's wife is like, they had to swap couples, right? And she was the only one that was like, that didn't look jealous or insecure. She was like, "Have fun," you know, like,
yeah, she was just cool.
She looks like she's cool.
Yeah. Maybe they have an arrangement.
I mean, no, I don't think so.
I think she's just
curious.
She feels secure.
He was really cool. He was really, really nice and stuff too. Like, just, mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know. But I didn't know who he was either. And honestly, even when we made that video, like, I didn't know he was that big until it went viral. So I had no idea. And then I looked up his Facebook and was like, oh, yeah, whatever.
What's his most popular song?
I still don't know.
Oh, okay.
What's the name of the song?
We should put it at the top of the episode.
Yeah,
I'll show you.
Or at the end.
If you hear it though, you'll know. I'm a sip Moscato, and I can't think of the song right
it's
now.
All right. I don't know anything. I'm really bad with all of that, but I did get rap too, so yeah. I feel good about my day. Are you single?
I am not single.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. I am in a partnership. That's what I like to call it. I'm dating somebody. I've been dating that person for almost 3 years.
Oh, that's awesome. How did I know? It's not a...
Oh, this is a camera. I just forgot that we are on video.
Is it a girl or a boy?
No, I'm dating a man.
Oh, okay.
A man.
I love that you didn't say a boy. She said a man. How the fuck did you find one of those in this? Did you find him here?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. We've been dating. Yeah.
You don't have to talk about this. We can check.
I just don't, what I've learned is not to talk about my relationship because...
it's a jinx?
You just can't win for doing it, right? Like, it doesn't matter. I think as comedians, because we share so much, there's got to be something that you keep because everything belongs to everybody when you're on stage. And I don't even talk about relationships on stage because for me, it's like... It's supposed to be the sanctuary, you know?
Yeah. That's why I never did Playboy.
You could just call your podcast Flavor of the Month because you just, you know.
Excuse you. I don't have a flavor of every month.
I'm just saying a lot of times when we do the podcast, there's some new guy that you're just broke up with.
It's not my fault.
I didn't say it's your fault.
I have not had a boyfriend before this last one who dumped me. Piece of shit.
I'm fucking around. Not really.
How long was that? How long?
I mean, we only dated for like 3 months. Mm-hmm. But he dumped me, but his reasons, I mean,
You know going into these things that it's not a good idea a lot of the time.
Wait, what are the reasons people dump other people?
Okay, this guy is, like, this guy legitimately begged me. Girl, I was not trying to date this guy. Brian even knows. I turned him down for like 2 years. Finally, I caved and went out with him. I made him wait a month to sleep with me. I still said, let's keep it casual. He begged and begged and begged for me to be his girlfriend. And then when I finally like was like, all right, he dumped me. And then since he dumped me, like he constantly like comes back and tells me he's still in love with me, but he doesn't want it to be over. But he can't be with me because the gist of it is he kind of put on a front of like what he had going in his life and his financial situation and his career situation. And then I think he realized, oh shit, now I'm in an actual relationship where I can't keep this front going. Mm-hmm. And instead of being like, hey, honest, this is what I really am, do you want to be with me? He was just like, I can't date you because I'm broke and I'm like, I have nothing going on and I just need to like hustle and whatever. So he dumped me.
Did you think he was not broke?
Yeah.
You thought he had money?
Well, I didn't think he was rich, but I thought he paid for everything. And he dropped into conversation on, because I was at the beginning, I was trying to split some bills and stuff because I figured, split some checks because I figured he doesn't have a lot of money because I know what he does. And then he was like, you know, I can afford it. I made, not to like say it, but like I made this much money last year. And then I started thinking about all the stuff he's paid for over the time I've known him. I'm like, that makes sense. But then like real quickly, mm-hmm, he was like broke, like super broke. So anyway, he dumped me. But then it turned ugly because I got angry because I was like, I didn't even want to commit. The last thing I was in was so toxic. And you, I finally was like, all right, I'll trust you. And he's like, I'm never leaving. And then like a week later, he dumped me.
When you said it got ugly, what does that mean?
Because once it ended and he kept coming back. So he kept coming back and being like, I miss you. I want to see you. Da, 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 da. And then we would fuck. And then during the sex, he'd be like, you're my girl. I'm an idiot. I'm so in love with you. Blah, 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 blah. And then it's like the next morning he'd wake up and be like, we're still broken up. That was just like sex talk.
Oh, wow.
So then I got angry and then I was like,
then they started slinging venom.
Well, I didn't sling venom. I said,
on social media?
No.
Just to each other.
Okay.
No, but here's the thing. When I fight logically. Mm-hmm. So like, I'll call you out for shit like, hey, you're the one that lied about all these things and pretended you had shit going that you don't and all this stuff. But I won't be like, you're a fat, ugly fuck. Like, I won't hit you below the belt.
Right.
But he like went in on some like real mean insults that were like,
to you?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So then now that makes it like I can't even look at you because now I'm like, oh, you're that. You would do that. So it turned ugly. So I'm a little...
And that's Kate Quigley's 2019 Flavor of the Month.
Honestly, he was my first boyfriend since last October. He was my first... Whatever. Doesn't matter. I'm back on the horses.
On the horses.
I mean, it's going to be fine.
Yeah, everything's good.
I didn't even want a boyfriend.
You're learning as you go about these.
Are you over it? Do you feel like you're over it?
Yeah, now.
Yeah.
I mean, but only because the shit he said in the last fight. Like, he hit me up to try to talk on the phone a couple times and I said no, which I never. Mm-hmm. I don't have any exes that if they hit me up and said, can I talk to you? I would say no to. This is the first time. Mm-hmm. But I'm like that, like.
Just ghost his ass.
I'm proud of myself because I didn't light his car on fire or do anything crazy. Have you ever done any crazy shit? Yeah. He does have a car. Yeah, but I've never seen his apartment. And that's one of the things he lied about, too. I've never seen the inside of his apartment.
That's weird.
I know. And then one time we got in a really bad fight, and I actually went to his apartment because I know where he lives. I've dropped him off. And I went there, and I knocked on the door, and he wasn't home. And then I told him I went there, and he was like, well, I was home. Which door were you knocking on? I told him. He's like, oh, that's not my apartment.
Oh, wow.
But then I found out later it is. He lied about his apartment number because he didn't want me to know where he lives.
So weird.
Yeah, there's some shit going on. I don't know what it is.
Well,
so
maybe it'll, you know.
Who cares?
Is this somebody who's been in a lot of relationships? Has he been married?
No. He was in like one serious long-term relationship.
Yeah, to pay attention to the...
Yeah.
And this thing, Dove Davidoff is always talking about pattern recognition.
He's right. I've been getting better, I think, yeah. with this guy. I mean, the good news is it's baby steps for me with this guy, at least. I hung with him for a while before I slept with him, which is like, I was trying to suss out all the red flags before, but whatever. Also, I let him sleep over. I never do that.
Well,
have you ever been crazy, like done petty, crazy shit after a guy wrongs? Like when I get wronged, if I feel like I was there for you and then you fuck me over, I sometimes will get revenge.
So I don't know if I've done it after, but throughout the relationship, I have done some crazy things.
Like
I dated ironically, a pathological liar. We were trying to figure out what was worse than pathological, what was beyond that, like habitual, consummate. We were trying to find out what's after all of that. What's the next level of
that sociopath?
Yeah, probably. But I'm going to sound crazy, but I had a dream.
You and Martin Luther King.
I had a dream that he was in his apartment with a girl and a dog, right? And I woke up out of my dream. I jumped in my car and I drove to his house, right? I started banging on the door. I was banging, let me in, let me in. He opens the door and lets me in. There's a dog in a crate in the living room. And I'm like, whose dog is that? He's like, that's my dog. I'm like, where'd you get this dog from? He was like, I got it from I rescued it. He rescued a baby Rottweiler. I start going through the apartment. I start checking the apartment. And when I go to open his bedroom door, it was locked.
Oh, shit.
She's got some of her grandma's voodoo genes.
Yes.
Oh, my God. This is amazing.
The girl was in there. And I was like, open the door and let me in. And she said, I'm not going to let you in because you're going to beat me up. And I was like.
You're like, yeah, bitch, that's right.
No, but I'm not.
I would beat the guy up.
It's not her fault.
It's his fault.
I don't even know what story he told her. He's the one lying to me.
Yep.
Yeah.
And so she never came out. And, you know, I was so mad. I left. And then. You know, he came back with the lies.
And you took him back?
Did I take him back after that? I did. I was in the
darkest. It's so hard.
I was in the sunken place.
Dude, I do that. This time I think I won't, but it's only because... The funny thing about this is the guy, like, has insulted me in so many ways that I let go. But the one that he did that I can't let go is me and this guy had great sex. I made this guy... I don't want to say I made him.
Yeah.
But one night he came seven times. He came seven times. And he told me I was the best sex of his life and all this shit. And then had the nerve to say, I wasn't with you for the sex. It was just okay. Like, and I'm like, oh, fuck you. Like that. If you insult like.
What do you mean you don't think you'll go back to him?
I won't. Did I say think?
Yeah.
I didn't mean to. I won't.
Yeah.
I will
you
not.
Be sure of that.
Trust me, I can't. I have too much pride.
Is it a comedian?
Not saying.
So somebody that you have to see, though?
Not really.
Oh,
no.
Okay, then that's good.
No.
That's the worst. The worst part of dating somebody in Los Angeles, from my own personal experience.
In LA, it's like 7 million people.
But let me tell you what. You date somebody in Los Angeles, and you break up, and you never want to see them again. And then they're doing a fucking Costco commercial.
Yeah, you can't get away.
It's the worst thing. It's not like in Iowa or in Pennsylvania. You break up with somebody and then you just move on about your business. You never see that person again.
Yep.
My ex-boyfriend and I ended up on my favorite television show. The guy who cheated on me treated me like shit and was the worst person ever. He ended up on my favorite TV show and I never watched that show again. I never watched the end. It was like he came on in later seasons and I was like, damn.
Isn't that crazy?
Ah.
I saw a meme one day that said, if you live in LA, eventually you will see someone who broke your heart on a billboard. And I was like, that is the realest shit. I remember when things ended with the last guy I dated, his ex was on a TV show that was really popular. And so there were billboards everywhere. So it wasn't him,
but it was
like a constant reminder of him. Like literally every fucking street corner. I was like, when will it end?
You'll have to start dating out of the industry, Kate.
Even if you date out, this town is like sickeningly, it's the most incestual dating pool.
Yeah. It's awful.
It's crazy here. Like, if you have sex with someone, they have had sex with someone you know personally. Like, it seems like it's always, I don't know.
My relationship doesn't work. I'm going to start dating, like, specific groups of people, like Mormons. I went on a date with a Mormon before, like a Mormon that was from the Bay Area who prided himself in speaking French.
You won't see him in a commercial or a billboard.
No, I don't.
That prided himself in speaking French.
Yeah, that's always, like, he took me to and exposed me to Fragua because for some reason... people are like, I'm going to expose the little Puerto Rican hood rat to. And I'm like, I don't like duck liver. It tastes like peanut butter and cod liver oil.
I didn't even know what Fragua was.
It's gross. And it was nasty. And I was like, I'm not going to pretend that I like it so I can be cool to people who think that's cool.
Duck liver? That sounds disgusting.
He probably only liked it because it made him feel like he was fucking all high society and shit.
It was gross. It was so. When I tasted it, I was like, psst.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he was like, that's why I like you. And I was like, shut up.
Because you don't like duck liver?
It's fetishing. It's fetish. But yeah, I'm going to find me like specific groups, like a mechanic or somebody who's not going to end up, you know, at the audition.
Dude, this guy would make me so mad too, because not to bring it back to him, but like he's a black guy. And like, for instance, he lost his driver's license at one point and he thought maybe he left it at my place. And I was like, I haven't seen it. And he was like, I need it. Like, I have to fly. And I was like, use your passport. Like, just order another one. Like, it's not that big a deal. And he was like, you just don't get it because you're a white woman. Like, you can't be a black guy and not have a driver's license. And I was like, dude, for real? Like,
and don't lose it.
Yeah. But also, I was like,
if you know that that's that important, then don't lose your driver's license.
Yeah, but also, like, when you order a new one, you get that temporary paper you just take with you. Like, it was whatever, man. Fuck that guy. I'm still bitter. All right. This is the thing that we ask everyone. So the show is obviously called Date Fails. Mm. Have you had any of like the most horrific date stories, sex stories, anything?
I guess I can talk about it now because we were working on something on it.
Besides the pit bull and the locked up girl.
Oh, that. Yeah.
Was that what it was? A pit bull? The dog that was in the crate? I don't know.
Oh, it was a Rottweiler.
A Rottweiler.
I was dating this guy my ex played football and we had a financial advisor, and when we broke up, I kept the financial advisor. He stayed with me. He thought my ex was not a good person. So years later, he introduces me to this guy who's a sports agent, and he's like, you got to meet this guy. He's not an athlete. He's a businessman. He's got his life together. You guys can be really, you know, whatever. So I started dating this guy, and it's a weird relationship because he's out of town, but when he comes in town, he's like this Thomas Crown thing, like, right? He's like, where do you want to go? He has a driver that he travels with.
Damn,
girl. So we go. I love basketball, but I don't love it like I used to. I think that it took it out of me. So I'm a Detroit Pistons fan. So he flew me to Detroit and Milwaukee for a series. And I had floor seats, I'm sitting.
Nice.
It was all, you know, just great. And he calls me and he says, hey, I got a gift for you. And I'm sending you, but I'm going to tell you what it is because you got to go sign for it. So he bought me a Range Rover. And he sent me the Range Rover. He shipped it to me, right?
Yeah.
So then the financial advisor calls me right when I'm going to go get the Range Rover. He says, Isla, do not pick up that car. I said, what happened? He said, he just got picked up by the feds. And if you pick up that car is evidence in a case. So don't even get involved. So I'm like, what happened? You know, tax evasion, you know, because this guy is running in all of the circles with the athletes. He introduced me to some players and all this stuff. Bank robber.
What?
Bank robber robbed 25 banks in the Midwest.
Holy shit.
Your girl was an alibi. You know what I mean? When we went to the Detroit, he wasn't at the game. He sent me and my friends. He was like, I'll just meet up with you guys for lunch later.
But he was like, I was in Detroit watching the game.
Yep.
Yeah.
Or staking out a bank. Whatever he was using us as a front. And he got 100 and something years. He got charged with 100 and something.
Oh my god!
For robbing banks?
Yeah.
He didn't even kill anyone.
It was like 25.
Well, no, because all the banks.
It was armed robbery. Crazy. So
armed robbery.
There's people who murder people that get like 10 years sometimes.
Yeah, but
you counterfeit money. You mess with their money. That's worth more than humans. All day.
Right. Also, it's like it's probably like, you know, 3 years per bank or something. Like he got like
So many banks.
Damn.
Yeah, it was funny. And you know what? Oh, Stockholm syndrome here. I wrote him a letter
in prison.
Thanking him for all the stuff that he did for me.
Oh my God, we're so much alike. How did you heal? You were obviously so damaged like me. See, she grew out of this. I'm going to be okay, Brian.
Someday.
I wrote a letter and I said, listen, I know it's rough and I may never see you again. But I just want to say thank you because you did some really nice things for me. It was just,
my You should have picked like, up that Range Rover and said, let's just see what happens.
Yeah, man, I would have picked that up and just acted like I had no, like, I mean...
Why wouldn't I? He told me to. Wow. I didn't know he was a bank robber. Can I keep it?
I know.
How long did you date him for?
It was maybe about 3 to 6 months, somewhere around there.
Was he awesome in bed?
I didn't sleep with him.
Whoa, wait a minute. This is how you fucking get Range Rovers and shit.
You know why I didn't sleep with him?
No.
Something in my gut told me something wasn't right. And I just, we always know. We don't want to face it. We'll say, oh, you know, or you won't tell anybody and you keep it to yourself. And I was like, I did a This Is Not Happening in Montreal 2 years ago. And I did the story. And it was it was the truest story ever, but I knew in my gut something wasn't right, and I was like, I'm gonna wait it out, we'll see. And then so I, you know, when it was time that it was about, you know, because after the Range Rover you gonna give up some ass, I was like but I was
those
like,
are the rules,
you know. And then I was like, but I couldn't, for some reason something was just not right. And because we had so much distance between us geographically, it worked in my favor, where I was like, oh, I feel like every time I see you we're just getting reacquainted.
Yeah,
I had a guy like that for a little while that, like, on paper he was perfect and so hot. I can't say too much about him because people will figure out who he was, but like I would always go out with him once or twice, and same thing. There was just, it would be great. But after the second time, there's always something in me that was like, there's something off. And then every few months, maybe he'd come back around. We'd go out once or twice, but it never got past that because it kept feeling like we were starting over. And then eventually I heard some stories about him that I was like, oh my God, I'm so, like, I heard that he like beat up a girl, and like I heard shit that I was like, oh, I actually dodged one.
Kate's February 2019 flavor of the month.
Fuck you. Oh, wow. Damn. Well, what do you have coming up tour wise and stuff? Like, you're doing the Netflix special, but are you going on
Zany's the weekend of August 1st? I'm doing Wait, Don't Tell Me on that Wednesday, but I'll be there that weekend. So come check me out in Chicago. I'll be at the downtown location, and then I'm doing Rosemont on that Saturday. But go to funnyida.com because I'll be touring. I'm going to Montreal Friday.
You are?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Funnyida.com. You're going to be in Florida, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm actually playing. Thank you for reminding me to plug my own dates. I never do that. I'm playing West Palm Improv this weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So come out. I forget where I am the weekend after that. But I'm somewhere. Oh, DC Improv the weekend after that. So please come. Brian, nice. What do you have coming up?
Mostly just the Laugh Factory every Thursday and the Comedy Store every Saturday, the early shows.
That's it?
Yeah.
Dude. Those are your shows?
Yeah.
Yeah, his Comedy Store show is so fun. It's every Saturday at 7.
Every Saturday at 7, it's main
great.
Room.
It's great. Yeah, it's always good. I'm so happy you came to do this.
Me too.
You're like
this
one
is
of
fun.
My apps. I have to have you back sometime. There is one other thing I wanted to ask you that I'm curious about. You have how many kids?
2.
How old are they?
23 and 27.
Holy shit. Girl, you look amazing.
Thank you. I'm only 41.
So you had them really young.
Yeah, but I say only in front of it now because I feel like Hollywood wants you to feel old. Like,
oh, I
once
know.
You hit 25, it's like, I've heard someone say, my friend does Botox and stuff, and he's like, most of my clients are under 25.
Oh, yeah. My friend for my 27th birthday bought me a Botox gift certificate, which I wasn't even thinking of getting Botox. And she was like, 27 is when it all starts to fall apart. And I was like, where the fuck are we? Like, what? But I used it and it was great.
You did?
You don't need it.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, you don't need it. I do, because I'm white.
I said you don't need it either.
Yes, I do. No, thank you, though. White people need Botox.
Okay.
All right.
I don't know at all anything about it, but my friend does it, and he's great. And everybody he does looks...
Really? I got to get his info.
A lot of celebrities... Everybody looks like... I feel like it's Death Becomes Her. I'm like, oh, these bitches look perfect.
Well, I mean, Botox for me, because I'm so light, since I squint really bad. So I was getting those, like, two lines that just make you look mad all the time. So that's what I got, and I still get it.
Will you give her his info?
Yeah.
Kate, 2019, September, flavor of the month.
Thank you. What I was going to ask was, because I thought your kids would be younger, I was going to ask how you had, I'm still curious, when you had the birds and the bees talk with your kids, how did you do it?
So bad, because nowadays your kids have that talk with you. Like I was really green when I had my kids. My son is the one who told me what teabagging was. Like, I didn't even know what that
was. Their iPhones tell them everything.
Your son told you that?
Yeah, because I was like, because I would say,
how does that come up?
I'm talking about teabagging. He's like, Mom, do you know what that is? And I was like, what is it? And he was like, let me tell you what it is so you can stop saying
What did you think it was?
I don't know, but I didn't think it was dipping your balls in somebody's,
you thought it was making some tea in a cup.
I didn't know. That's not something that I was... And he was actively in a world where that was a joke.
Yeah.
Next time we have her on, we'll throw all those terms out and we'll see which one she knows.
Yeah. Yes, I like that.
I bet you don't know. I mean, I still feel like I know nothing. I have to look them all up. So you probably don't know them all still. No. You seem pure.
No. I don't know about
that. I'm just kidding. You don't seem pure. You fucked a bank robber. Oh, no, you didn't fuck him. You dated a bank robber. So, well, girl, I love you. Thank you. Please come back again. I would love to have you back.
I should
have
fucked the bank robber. I heard there would have been probably good sex because that motherfucker was crazy.
Yeah. That's the thing. Like, I would have definitely
Maybe
fucked him.
Maybe give him a conjugal visit.
No. You can't. You have to be married. Listen, that's the quickest way to get married in California.
The worst part of the whole story, which I feel embarrassed to say, is that I didn't know what his real name was.
He didn't even
tell us the real name. So
all a ploy to keep him safe in
his
mind.
So when I wrote the letter, I wrote, dear, the name he told me, / the name I saw in the article, and then / whatever your real name is.
Honestly, that makes me feel so much better about never seeing the inside of that one guy's apartment.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You helped me. Next time you come, we'll take calls and we'll do question and answer with fans. But you're amazing.
No,
so
you.
Thank you for being here. Guys, this has been Date Fails. Please support the sponsors so the podcast can stay on the air. And follow Aida. What's your Instagram and Twitter?
Funny AIDA.
Funny AIDA. Follow me at Kate Q Funny. Follow him at Brian Monarch. And we will see you guys next time. Bye.
We did it.
Yeah.